You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Hey, men, we're in the last episode of our Fathers and Daughters series. It's Pastor John with you again today. I hope this has been helpful. I know this series has been very convicting for me, but encouraging too. And I hope it's been encouraging for you. I hope it's been something that's given you some practical application. I know I actually have some very specific action steps for myself coming out of today's episode with my own daughter. And I'd really encourage you to think about action steps for yourself that you'd like to take with your daughter as we wrap up this series today. I want to do just a quick recap in case you missed the first two episodes in this series. I certainly would encourage you to go back and listen to them when you have some time, but you know, if you don't have a chance to do that right now, let me at least just kind of catch you up. In the first episode, we talked about the importance of loving our wives well. Even though this is a series about fathers and daughters, we talked about how important it is that we love our wives well so that our daughters can see what that is supposed to look like in a relationship with their future husband. And we talked about how many, many studies show that the best thing you can do for your children, both your sons and your daughters, is to make sure things are good between mom and dad. We also talked about being intentional about speaking their love language. Just like you want to learn your spouse's love language, your children likely will not all have the same primary love language. I know that's the case in my family. We have four kids and two different love languages between those four children. And then lastly, we talked about staying in our lane in that episode. The reality is there are some conversations that are better left between your daughter and your wife, or if you're in a single parent situation, your daughter and another Christian woman, someone you trust, than for you to try to speak into every single situation. So that was episode one. Episode two, we really focused in on speaking truth against the lies of the enemy. And we looked at some lies from the enemy in areas like beauty, you know, what makes a young woman beautiful. We talked about differences between the genders and how culture is trying to blur those differences and even erase them. And we talked about purity. Now, today is going to be a little bit of a mixed bag. I don't think this is going to be quite as structured as maybe the typical episode. There were just a handful of things that I wanted to make sure we hit before we wrapped up the series that I'm kind of putting together. So again, it may not be quite as structured as typically, but I'm hopeful and I'm prayerful that it's still very valuable to you guys. I've been praying over this episode that God would really use it and kind of put a bow on this series and make it very valuable. So the first thing I want to talk about in today's episode is quality time. Spending quality time with our daughters is critical, even if it isn't their primary love language. But here's the trick. They get to define what that quality time looks like for them. You and I don't get to determine solely. I think we can have some input. I think we can encourage them to try certain things. But we don't get to define what quality time looks like for others. Let me read a passage from Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Paul says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross." Specifically there in verse 4, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And that's been very convicting for me. There's kind of an ongoing joke in my household with my daughters. I ask them often to go hiking with me, or would you like to do a daddy-daughter camping trip, or could we go fishing today? And I'll even, I mean, I'm just being completely honest, I will try to guilt them into it sometimes and say something like, you know, do you know how many daughters would love it if their daddy wanted to take them camping? But here's the thing, my daughters don't really like the outdoors like I do. It's just not one of the things they're really into, and they should get a say on what constitutes quality time. And that's been hard for me to learn. I think one of the reasons for me it's been difficult is my wife, when we first started dating, she loves to hike, loves to camp, loves to backpack. She even likes to fish. My wife doesn't like to shop. Those are some of the reasons I was so attracted to her. We had a lot of similar interests. We still share a lot of similar interests. And so it was easy for me to spend quality time with her, but I could do it selfishly because I could do the things that I really enjoyed doing and still spend quality time with her. My wife got me into playing volleyball when I was in college. And so before we had children, many, many Saturdays, we were playing in either a tournament together somewhere, or she was playing women's doubles matches and I was playing men's, and we were at the same location. And neither of us felt like we were being selfish because we both were doing something we enjoyed. But my daughters are a different story. My daughters don't really like the outdoors. My daughters don't really like fishing or hiking or those types of activities. And so it's not fair for me to only offer to spend quality time with them if I'm doing something that I like. Now, should we as parents expose our kids to new things? Absolutely. I think we should. Should you encourage your children to appreciate God's creation? Absolutely. I think we should. But the reality is not everyone loves the outdoors, and that's what I've had to learn in my case. So sometimes you have to take one for the team. You have to do something you don't necessarily enjoy to spend that quality time. So my daughter does like to shop. She really enjoys doing it. That's a thing she likes to do. And so that's one of my action steps coming out of this series, is just to have an afternoon or an evening where I take her out and grab some food and do a little shopping trip with her. Now, you know, we're going to be responsible with our finances. I'm not going to go nuts. There are obviously boundaries to all of this. I'm not saying that we should do whatever our daughters want to do. They need to understand our priorities, and they need to understand that we need to be good stewards of the financial resources God has given us. So, you know, if your daughter loves to go to the beach, I'm not saying you have to take her to Hawaii three times a year, but love is a choice, right? Love is a choice. So I can choose to spend time doing something with my daughter that I know she's going to appreciate. I know she's going to be grateful for. And I hate to use the word fake it till you make it. I don't have to be giddy about what we're doing, but I can still have a smile on my face. I can still enjoy being with her and having that quality time with her, even if the activity itself is maybe not the most exciting thing for me or the top thing on my list. I don't think Jesus was giddy about going to the cross. I don't think there was anything about the act itself of going to the cross that excited Jesus. However, we know Scripture says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So being obedient to the Father and redeeming those who had put their faith in him brought Jesus joy. Even though the cross was going to be horrific, even though the cross was going to be brutal, he actually knew that there was joy before him for enduring that. And so I think you and I can have the same attitude. You know, maybe we certainly don't want to compare ourselves to what Christ had to go through, but you know, you can endure a day at the mall for your daughter. You can endure, maybe you have a daughter who's into video games. Maybe you have a daughter who's into horseback riding and you have nothing to do with horses, whatever it might be. Maybe she likes to roller skate. Maybe she's an artist. Maybe she wants to go to a concert and it's a different genre of music than you would want to go to. As long as it's, you know, not sexually explicit lyrics or something like that, where you have reason to put boundaries, I think sometimes as dads, you and I just have to learn how to endure some of those things so that we can spend the quality time with our daughters that they need. I have a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old. And man, I know everybody tells you this, but if you have younger kids, I'm just warning you, it goes by so fast. You're going to blink and it's going to be gone and that time's going to be gone and you can't get it back. You can't redeem it. I know it sounds hokey, but you can't go back. And so for the time that you have left with your daughter, if she's still in the home, make sure you're getting some quality time in with her. The second area I want to talk about is what I'm going to call tenderness and touch. Appropriate levels of tenderness and physical touch by a father have a significant impact on the likelihood that a girl will be sexually active or not. The reality is, you and I, even though our daughters eventually have to make their own decisions, the amount of proper physical affection they get from us, the amount of tenderness they receive from us, and then back to what we just talked about, quality time, has a huge impact on the likelihood of whether or not they will be sexually active. And that's not just Christian studies that bear that out. That is study after study. In fact, in preparing for this podcast, I read 7 different studies that had been done, 6 of them here in the U.S., and the last one was a combination of young ladies in the United States and New Zealand. And every single one of them showed a correlation between absenteeism by the father and an increased amount of sexual activity on behalf of the daughter. Now, sometimes that absenteeism was physically absent. So literally there was just no dad in the home, and that correlation was the strongest. But there was also a correlation in households where dad was present physically but didn't offer any physical affection or very limited physical affection to his daughter or who was essentially checked out mentally. It's just the reality of it that our daughters were wired for that. They were wired to feel cherished. They're wired to feel cared for, loved, nurtured. And if they're not getting that from you, dad, they're going to look for it somewhere else. Now, again, you know, I don't want to make this weird. I'm talking about proper levels of physical affection. Certainly won't have good boundaries, and those levels of physical affection will change as our daughters age. We talked about that a little bit on one of the previous episodes. But I would just encourage you, especially if your daughter's love language is physical touch. You know, if you have a really young child, a toddler, preschool, are you holding her often? Are you giving her lots of hugs? You know, does she sit in your lap sometimes? Like, is she getting that proper physical touch? And if she's a little bit older, you know, are you still giving her hugs? Do you give her a kiss on the cheek goodnight when it's time for bed? Do you do high fives? Like, whatever it is you do, whatever it is that your daughter appreciates, are you giving her a proper level of physical affection? And then I think along with that is just the idea of tenderness. You know, we're instructed to live with our wives in an understanding manner as with a weaker vessel. And I recognize that passage is specifically in how we deal with our wives, but I think it is instructive with how we should deal with our daughters. And again, this is an area for me where I've been convicted in this series because there are certain ways that I treat my daughter the same way I treated my sons. You know, I wanted to raise sons, and we're going to do a series coming up on fathers and sons, but I wanted to raise my boys to be young men. I didn't want them to be boys with whiskers, and I think you know the difference. I wanted them to be young men who were responsible. I wanted them to be young men who were physically tough. I think that's important. I think you have to know how to work hard as a man. I think you know how to have to work through pain sometimes, not injury. You know, that's one of the things we had to help kids learn as I coached all those years, is there's some between being hurt and injured. You know, if you're being injured, you need to have it treated. You need rest. If you're hurt, you can often play through that. And unfortunately, guys, I kind of treated my daughter the same way. You know, it was like, hey, just rub some dirt in it and let's go. Now, I'm not saying all of our daughters have to be dainty princesses. Our daughters are all different. Some of you have daughters that are a little more tomboyish, if that's even still an appropriate word to use, than others. And I think that's okay. I'm not advocating that we make all of our daughters look exactly the same, or that, you know, we treat them like such a delicate flower, they can't get any dirt on them. That's definitely not the point. But I don't think we need to treat them like our boys. I don't think we need to be as gruff. I don't think we need to be as rough. I think we need to watch our tone. I think we need to be gentle. You know, again, I'm not against raising girls who are mentally tough. I think that's going to be helpful for them when they get married and when they're moms. But are you tender with your daughter? Just ask yourself this question. If your son and daughter disobeyed in a similar manner, if your son and daughter were in a situation where they were dealing with emotional pain, would you treat them exactly the same? Again, confession for me, I probably would have to say there are definitely times when I have, and I'm learning. I don't think that's what God is calling me to do. At the very beginning, when God created male and female and the differences between male and female, he said it was very good. And we mentioned that in episode one of this, that male and female are not exactly the same. And so I don't think you and I should treat our sons and daughters exactly the same. So let's watch our tone. Let's try to be gentle. And let's make sure that our daughters are getting the appropriate amount of physical affection from us. And I think if your daughter's a little bit older, you know, in that preteen area, even teens, I think you can ask your daughter what that would look like for her. You know, what type of physical touch would she appreciate? Does she still want a hug? Maybe she's in that season where, you know, dad's not cool anymore and she doesn't want a hug. I think it's okay to ask them, kind of like we ask with quality time, you know, what constitutes quality time for them. I think it's healthy to get their input on what would constitute healthy physical affection. All right, the third point I want to talk about is not sacrificing our daughters for success. There will always be stuff pulling for our attention. Don't let the urgent things get in the way of the important things. Sacrificing our relationships with our daughters to get ahead at work or even ahead in ministry is never worth it. Now, the example I want to give out is a little different. I know it doesn't apply directly to us because we wouldn't make this claim out loud that we're willing to sacrifice our daughter for success. I think, unfortunately for us, it's in a lot more subtle ways. But this happened in the book of Judges with a judge named Jephthah. And so some of you are probably familiar with this story. It comes from Judges chapter 11, verses 29 through 31. It says, at that time, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he went throughout the land of Gilead and Manasseh, including Mizpah in Gilead, and from there he led an army against the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. He said, if you give me victory over the Ammonites, I will give to the Lord whatever comes out of my house to meet me when I return in triumph. I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. Now, before we get too far into the story, let me just make sure we all understand. God didn't put Jephthah up to that vow. It's not a vow God wanted him to make. In fact, the nation of Israel had been told explicitly not to sacrifice their children. But this is almost like a Shakespearean tragedy. You can almost guess that as soon as Jephthah makes this foolish vow, that something extremely valuable is going to come out of his home, and that if God grants him victory and he keeps his vow, he's going to have to sacrifice it as a burnt offering. And so if you read on in the story, what happens is God does grant Jephthah victory. He does defeat the Ammonites. And as he's coming back, the first person to come out of his home is his daughter. And so Jephthah sacrifices his daughter to the Lord. And there's a longer story. She asks for some time to mourn with her friends. And there's even some debate. The majority of scholars, the majority of commentaries I've read on it, believe that he went through with it and sacrificed her. There are a kind of a minority that feel like what he sacrificed was her ability to marry, and that she, in a sense, remained a virgin and remained alone her whole life. I tend to lean towards the camp that he literally sacrificed her, even though that was sinful to do. Now, again, I know, guys, that none of us would bargain with the Lord and say, okay, God, if you'll give me this promotion at work, if you'll give me this new ministry role, then I will sacrifice my daughter, you know, for it. Again, I think what we do is ours is just more subtle. That through small decisions we make, small choices we make, our children get sacrificed for success. Did you miss that last band recital because you had a deadline? Did you miss meeting the young man who's going to take your daughter out on her first date because you're working late at the office? Now, again, I'm not saying you can always make every single thing our kids do. Some guys have, you know, work that's more flexible than others. I understand that. But when you have a choice, do you choose work or do you choose your kids? Do you choose the promotion? Do you choose being there for your daughter? And men, if you're in ministry, please hear me on this, because you are not immune to this if you're in ministry. You can definitely sacrifice your children on the altar of ministry. And I don't think God calls us to do that. I think our primary ministry should always be to our home. Now, are there some times we sacrifice family for ministry? Again, yes, I think there are some times we do that. But is that the consistent pattern? Are my daughters always coming second compared to ministry? Are my daughters always coming second compared to work? I think those are honest questions to ask ourselves. And again, depending upon the age of your daughter, that may be a great question to ask your daughter. Sweetheart, do you feel second place to my job? Now, you know, be prepared for the answer, and be prepared that particularly teenagers, I know this is a generalization. I know some guys get frustrated with me when I paint a general picture. I'm not saying this is always the case, but in general, I think teenagers have a really hard time empathizing. So you may get a pretty brutal answer, and sometimes, you know, you have to run that answer through an adult grid, an adult filter. They might tend to exaggerate a little bit, but I do think we need to listen. I think if our children feel like they're always second place, that's not healthy. That's not good. They need to know that they're more important to us than our job or more important to us than ministry. So again, don't sacrifice the relationships for success. Then the last thing I want to mention, and I said this just real briefly on the last episode, but we didn't get into it, is I think it's helpful for our daughters not to be independent, but I think they need to be capable. You know, Proverbs tells us to pursue wisdom over and over in the book of Proverbs. It talks about how wisdom is more valuable than rubies, how it's more precious than gold. And so I think it's helpful for our daughters to be capable, to be wise in the ways of the world. And what I mean by that is I don't think you need to teach your daughter how to overhaul a transmission, but I think your daughter ought to be able to change a tire. Right? If your daughter is old enough to have her driver's license and she was driving some way and she got a flat, like, praise God if somebody stopped and came along the side of the road and helped her with that. I think that's awesome. You know, hopefully we're training our boys that if they were to see that situation, they'd pull over and help. But I don't want my daughter hanging out on the highway for hours because she doesn't know how to change a tire. I think she should know how to change a tire. Does your daughter know things like investing in debt and collateral and interest rates? Like, these are real life things that I think our daughters need to be wise on. Not that they need to be experts in everything, and not that if they were to get married, that maybe they would take the lead on that. You know, maybe in that situation, their husband is the one who does most of the budgeting, obviously with their input. You know, that's something they would do together. Maybe he takes care of the bills. You know, maybe he's the one who's looking at the home loans. But what if she's single? What if she's single? Are you teaching your daughter how to be capable? Does she know how to cook? Does she know how to sew? And I know we're calling this fathers and daughters. So, you know, dad, maybe your role isn't in all of those. Maybe in some of those things, your wife is taking the lead on making sure that your daughter's being equipped. But are you leading to make sure that's happening? Are you part of those conversations at least? Are you encouraging your daughter to learn new things and to be capable? Again, I stay away from that term independent. I think that's something that's misleading. I think we have way too many people who think they're independent. We are so dependent upon the Lord. And I want my daughters and my sons both to know just how dependent they are on God, that the very breath they breathe is from Him. The only reason they have life is because of God. And the only reason they can have a relationship with God is because of what He did for them, that they are totally dependent on His grace, on His mercy, and on His sacrifice. I want both my daughters and my sons to know that. So again, just to recap today and for the series in general, guys, make sure you're spending quality time with your daughters and let them define what that looks like. Be tender with them. Give them proper amounts of physical touch. Don't sacrifice your relationship with them for success, and help them be capable. I hope you find this valuable. Again, I hope you've got at least one or two action steps to take with your daughter as we wrap this up. And on the next episode, we'll start digging into fathers and sons.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.